Well, we keep thinking about Mike, up and down, down and up. Who knows? Better days, not real healthy, and then worse days, real dangerous. We'll add Zolita in here. She needs to go to a place. The term used is respite care. Has to make sure she doesn't fall and get hurt. The goal is not to stay there permanently, but to protect her, practice walking, try not to get hurt. And Linda knows the most, but we'll probably bug her next day or two. We are done with theological topics, and the final chapters again are on Christian living. Last week in Romans 13, it was about God and government. Because of the switch from chapter 12 to chapter 13, the main angle of the government was don't take revenge. Therefore, the main angle was the courts. And to turn the real serious wrongdoers over to the courts, the references in Romans 13 did refer to the sword, so there should be capital punishment for murder. Again, in Proverbs 24, if a crime is ongoing and someone is in danger, then we can stand up and protect them. But when something is over and done with, a lot of the wrongs are small. They're not in the crime category. If we can cover a multitude of sins, that's what God would want us to do and not spend too much time on it. If it's a little bit more serious, we can go to that person in private. Maybe not be around them too much anymore if it doesn't work out. Crimes, though, go to the courts, and that's why the switch in the topic was from not taking revenge to God and government, mostly about the courts, one verse on paying taxes. In Romans 13, we obey God because it's concerning the courts. There wasn't any reference to not obeying the government, but there were cases in the Bible whereby there was a command by the government against the greater law of God, and people then disobey the government and keep the higher law of God. Like in the book of Acts, they told them they couldn't preach anymore, and Acts 4, 19 and 20, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now we go from God and government to probably an issue that was bothering those in Rome. And it was about getting along with other Christians on matters that the Bible doesn't really teach about. It doesn't teach there's a definite good and evil. It doesn't teach there's a definite right and wrong. And some of the Christians were doing one thing, and some of the Christians were doing the other thing. And the main teaching here is to kind of get along with people on these relatively secondary issues. If there is a moral teaching, it's kind of like try not to split over things that don't matter. So we look at Romans 14. It will come up with issues, and sometimes that don't concern us at all. But then we will look over into, say, the notes concerning our time period. But let's look at Romans 14, 1 through 4. Now accept the one who is weak in the faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Sometimes the Bible gives very definite commands. Sometimes the Bible says very little about a subject. looking at the Ten Commandments, 9 out of the 10 transfer over into the New Testament. The one that does not transfer is remember the Sabbath. So we don't have to worship on Saturday anymore. There's actually no command about that. We have to worship. Now, Saturday, that's Old Testament. The early church example, not command, but the early church example was on Sunday, the first day of the week. So in the book of Acts or the book of 1 Corinthians, the early church met on Sunday. No commands. Don't have to meet on Sunday. That's the way it's been done for 2,000 years as an example. Don't have to. It's actually a matter of choice. And the early church's way of doing it was Sunday. Here is an example of the diet. People in the early church would choose to be vegetarians. Now, it's not for the reasons that we have now. It's not because the person has conclusions about health benefits. In the early church, there were times when pagans would slaughter an animal in a pagan ritual, and the meat would end up on a market. And so those that would not go to the market, it was because they thought this meat had been a part of a pagan ritual, and we don't want anything to do with it, just in case it might be. So that's the reason why some would choose vegetarian in those days. It wasn't for health reasons. It's because this piece of lamb or beef might have been sacrificed to the idols in a pagan ritual, and then the meat ended up over here in the meat market, and we don't want anything to do with it. Now, Paul is going to say it doesn't matter if you do or you don't. He did say in Corinthians, don't go to pagan rituals. So he forbade the Christians to go to pagan rituals where they would sacrifice an animal. But as far as going to the store and buying meat, you don't know for sure what the meat's origin was. Just slaughter the animal. Here's the meat. Or a pagan ritual in those days. We don't have that yet, but I know because a good friend of mine has 1,300 sheep in Michigan, and the Muslims will slaughter their own animals. They will come out and buy them from the farmer and take them away. And they didn't go to the store because they were having a Muslim ritual, and they would slaughter their own meat. That's a little bit closer to what you have here. Would you go to a Muslim store and buy their meat? That's more what the Romans were with. Would you go to a store and buy meat that may have been a part of a pagan ritual before it got to the store? That's more what they're thinking about. And Paul had told them in Romans, don't go to the rituals, but if you go to the meat market and buy meat, don't ask any questions of where it came from. It might be okay. You may never know, and maybe they don't know where it came from. But you have the eating of meat, or being a vegetarian, you have it here in a matter of Christian liberty. Paul didn't make up any Bible commands. You shall not eat meat because you don't know where it came from. They didn't make any Bible commands. The command here is to kind of try to get along with other Christians. If it bothers them and they don't want to, they don't have to eat it. If you want to eat it, you can eat it. The main thing is going to be try to get along, try to be flexible. And, of course, over and over in here, verse 4, verse 10, verse 13, don't judge another person on these matters. The Bible doesn't say it's right or wrong, it's good or evil. It doesn't say you just sort of make up your own mind and try to get along with it. More in the Roman times in verses 5 through 12, and this one is on holidays or special days. Verse 5 and following. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. And he who eats does it for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who does not eat does it for the Lord. He does not eat and give thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of himself will give an account of himself to God. Well, we've already talked about the days of worship. Old Testament, Saturday. New Testament, no command. No, doesn't really command. Now, the example of the early church was Sunday, and most people do Sunday. Could a church do Saturday? Yeah, if they don't attack everybody else. Because it's a matter of Christian liberty, which day of worship. Now, most churches follow the biblical example, not a command, but the biblical example of the early church was to always meet on Sunday, and most churches, most people, choose that. Now, let's go over into holidays. Do we have to keep the Jewish holidays? That did not transfer over into the New Testament. We do not have to do Passover in the spring. We do not have to do Pentecost in the summer. We do not have to do Tabernacles in the fall. Could a Messianic Christian choose to do these things? Yeah, he can do it. What he would be saying here is, don't argue and fight over this. If you don't want to do Jewish holidays, don't do Jewish holidays. If you do want to do them, that's a good personal choice. A church could choose to do them. They should not be condemning other churches that do not. Which, by the way, in both these examples, it often happens. Usually gets set up as superior. We worship on Saturday. The Bible is saying, nope, doesn't matter. It's not in the same category as thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. Worship is commanded. The day of the week is not commanded. It's an example. Most Christians follow the New Testament example and do it on Sunday. Regarding Christmas and Easter, it's not commanded. They're in the Christian liberty category. If a family wants to have Christmas and Easter, if a church wants to have Christmas and Easter, they can. If a family doesn't want to, they don't have to. If a church doesn't want to, they don't have to. You have in the Romans 14 category both diet and days. The Bible doesn't make commands about any of them. The main command here is to try to get along. These are not in the category of must be or evil. They're not in the category of you have to do this, or if you do it, you're evil. They're not in either one of the categories. It's a personal choice. It's a family choice. Paul's own tendency was to feel liberty. He personally was not a vegetarian. And you can tell it's a little bit in here as personal choice because he'll say they're a little bit weaker. It bothers their conscience. Wouldn't need to bother their conscience to go to the meat market and get meat. They don't know where it came from. His personal tendency was a little bit liberty. But when he was around other people, he did what he could to be polite. This only happened once, but my parents hosted a missionary to India. Now, the missionary to India wasn't from India. He was American, but his family would not eat beef because they wanted to go to India and just kind of get along over there. They would not eat beef. So My mother would think about it, and we ended up eating macaroni and cheese and big pot of vegetable soup. And we usually did better on Sundays at our house, but when they were coming over, kind of like, okay, you're doing this for a reason to have testimony to the people in India. We will cooperate. We will do it. Another subject here that's unrelated to that is the phrase, the judgment seat of God. See that in verse 10? So often in direction, a little bit of the judgment seat of God, called in 1 Corinthians 3, the judgment seat of Christ. We sometimes do use the original Greek word, bima, the high raised seat. And I thought I'd better review that. Anybody at the judgment seat is already saved. Everybody at the judgment seat of Christ or God is already saved. This will be a judgment for a level of rewards, not for who goes to the heavenly city and who does not. That's rather clear in 1 Corinthians 3. If any man's work be burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. So at the judgment seat of Christ, there's 100% saved, and some built upon Christ the foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones. Some built wood, hay, and stubble. All will go to heaven. All are saved. Some get higher reward. Some get lesser reward. So that's the judgment seat of Christ. That's the judgment seat of God. The main reason I'm bringing this in is some people merge all the judgments together. Some people in evangelical circles merge all the judgments together. They should not. The judgment seat of Christ is 100% saved. It's a judgment to decide who gets higher reward, who has lost reward, but all are saved. Now, some people merge them all. There's some very famous Christian authors that merge them all, and I get their free book sent in the mail, and I'm like, And they will merge them all, and they will say, if you work hard, you'll make it to heaven, gold and precious stones. If you don't work hard, you'll go to hell, and it'll be wood, hay, and stubble. When the actual text says, but he himself shall be saved. So this is a judgment for believers, for those going to heaven. And it will be who gets a higher reward, who gets a lesser reward. The overall subject here in Romans 14 is a little bit higher reward for a person who tries to get along with other people, and who doesn't fight over things where the Bible is silent. And sometimes the Bible makes a definite teaching, and we have to obey it. Sometimes it's back and forth, up and down, doesn't matter. It's like a very minor thing, and if one person goes one way, another person goes the other way, that's okay. Try to get along. Higher reward to judgment seat. Verse 13 will bring us back to judgment again. I've left it out so far. Verse 4, who do you judge the servant another? Verse 10, why do you judge your brother? Now we get to verse 13, here it comes again. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block, trip him up in another brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks it is anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore do not let what is for you a good thing to be spoken of as evil. And they will break off in the middle of that sentence and pick it up later. Sometimes the Bible teaches not to judge, but sometimes it teaches to judge. And the difference is we judge according to righteous judgment. If we judge something, we should be following what God has judged, not self. If we judge something is wrong, it should be in the Bible as wrong. And then we are just following God's judgment on that. Years ago, I argued with another, said he was a Christian, about homosexuality. He didn't like it. Judge not, he said. I said, I didn't judge. God judged it. I agree with it. You don't. If God has given a judgment, we have to follow it. And that's not in the category of judge not. Judge not is in the category of a speck in your brother's eye or these things that are not really taught in the Bible. So if it's a non-moral, insignificant thing, it's a personal choice. We can go one way, we can go the other, and the Bible would say, don't judge them over the speck in their eye. Don't judge them over the non-moral matters, the matters of Christian liberty. Don't judge them about diets, and don't judge them about days. Just let it go. So sometimes don't judge, but then it's in a category of a non-biblical matter that's not taught. Don't judge a person's spirituality based upon a non-biblical matter that is not taught. But if God has already given a judgment, then Jesus said in John 7:24, do not judge according to appearances, but judge with righteous judgment. And judge with righteous commandment is a command to judge, so long as God has already given us the teaching on it. This might be old information, but I heard a long time ago that the favorite Bible verse of the news is not John 3:16. This was what was called a Nexus Lexus search. What is the Bible verse that the news media uses the most? And it is, judge not. I saw it once on the news, and there was a pro-life parade and pro-life demonstration, and they asked the liberals what they thought. They said, judge not. You're not following the Bible. Judge not. Well, judge not concerns things that the Bible is silent about. And Jesus said, don't judge according to appearances, but judge according to righteous judgment. So that's actually a command. Judge according to righteous judgment. If God has made up a judgment on something, we didn't make it up. We just agree with what God has judged. So, you know, back to your little abortion thing, judge not, and, well, we're not judging except. And the people in the news did not. This category here of not judging is on things that are not matters of right and wrong. They're not things that the Bible spells out. They're not things the Bible takes a definitive stand on. Then judge not, as we see it here. At the end of verse 16, because the next will have the phrase, the kingdom of God. And I wanted to stress that. So let's look at verse 17. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace. And you, in this way, serve Christ as acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Well, it's a lot more minor. When I was at a pastor's meeting, and I think another speaker made a mistake, he said the phrase, the kingdom of God, is never used in the Bible of the church. Well, I thought of this verse when he said it. I thought, well, looks like it is. I didn't. But that's a minor thing. That's when I keep shut. But I'm like, I agreed with his main conclusion. The kingdom of God in the Bible is usually Israel. The kingdom of God will reign on earth when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. 1,000-year millennial kingdom, Revelation 20. I agree with his conclusion. And then he said, to prove the conclusion, the phrase kingdom of God is never used of the church. And I thought, well, I think it is. There's one. think I could find a couple more, usually used of Israel, but the church is a form of the kingdom of God. The main stress, however, though, is the church is supposed to be happy, joyful, peaceful. See the descriptions here. There's more in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which we'd say patience with others, kindness, goodness, self-control, gentleness. In this context, it is the church shouldn't be fighting over diet and days. Christian living should be more on a little happiness, peace and joy, loving each other is in here too. So there are lots of behaviors that aren't in the Bible. They're not good or bad. They are indices. And Paul was telling the Romans, the goal of Christian living is not to make everybody agree on things that don't matter. It's not to spend all the time on that. Just like in Romans 12, not to spend all the time getting even. Christian living should be a little more positive, like you see here in verse 17. Not fighting over who eats this, who drinks that, rules that are not in the Bible, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I would say he didn't want them to fight all the time over what day. He wanted to fight all the time over what to eat. Just try to get along over it. It's not a right or wrong thing. And now the close of Romans 14. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean. You really can eat pork. You really can eat shrimp. You really can eat milk and meat together because we're not under the law. All things are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. So try to get along with him. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Do not tear down the work of God. That is, try not to fight everybody and individuals and families and within a church, and church fights the other church over things that really are not definitively right and wrong. Now, there's a time to fight. I would say the deity of Christ and the resurrection and the virgin birth and then sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage. There's a time to fight. But not over things that are matters of Christian liberty. If the Bible doesn't say it's definitely right or wrong and another church wants to do it a different way, then they do it a different way. There has been a reference to building up in verse 19. Verse 20 does the opposite, tearing down. We drive around town. We can see in both directions. We see them tearing everything apart. Like, what, 10th Street? They're tearing down that older mall down there. It's all ripped up. They've already built Amtec from it, a new vocational school. So build up other people. Don't tear them down. Verse 22 can have a personal conviction. You want to do it, you know, the first way and not the second way. Well, it's not in the Bible, either right or wrong. If you want to have a personal conviction, that's okay to have a personal conviction. I want to add in here, the world is very big. It's very strong. And Christians have to unite over the things that matter, and they should not fight each other over things that don't matter. Because the enemy usually stands together to hate Christianity. It's usually very big and very strong. And best not to fight over things that are not in the Bible. That's kind of what Paul is teaching here. Now, I knew we'd get done with Romans 14. These are notes that we did when we did 1 Corinthians. And I have these notes, and we printed them, and we don't need to study them right now. But beyond Romans 14, here were some questions. Here were some Bible verses about what do I do on things where the Bible does not teach. If the Bible doesn't teach on it, everybody can make up their own mind. It's not right or wrong. And the churches can have their own church preference, which we often do. Yeah. We do Christmas and Easter. Would we have to? No. We choose to do Christmas and things like that. And here's a little illustration of a little research of verses beyond Romans 14 that relate to things where the Bible does not teach. Okay, we will pray this time for our infirm people, and then we'll have the musicians come.